All right. Welcome to the men's meeting. My name is Tim. I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect your anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except recording by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing or say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign the release up at the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here are those of OA individuals and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? We got him right here. Somebody. Perfect.
Twelve steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food. That our lives have become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
The format is a 55-minute session as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by questions or open sharing. Domingo, do you want to share first? I don't know how this is supposed to go, so go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name's Omi. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, it's good to be here. And I do have some pictures, and it's a small enough room. I'm going to go ahead and pass them around. And they're just some pictures of how I was and how I am now. A little bit of the physical transformation, so to speak. I am a 100-pounder. My abstinence date is April 30th, 2009, and I have been relieved of over 100 pounds of weight loss. But of course, and that's definitely significant. But how much time do I have? Sorry.
I'll take 10 to 15 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes. Okay. It's definitely significant. However, it's not the whole picture, you know, but it was all I wanted when I came in. I just wanted something. I just wanted to lose weight. I didn't even want... I wasn't even past that, I wasn't thinking. I just came in, I was desperate. Everything that I had tried had failed, and I had worked hard. I'm a overworker, I'm a workaholic. So, and I have I'm hard-headed. Today I can recognize that's a good quality. I'm persistent, I'm consistent, turned into, you know, if it generates from fear and self-centeredness and this idea that I better get mine because no one else is going to take care of me and there's no one else out there to take care of me, then, I can do some... It's not a good place, not good motivation. So I've learned how to have a new motivation in this program, thankfully. One of love and service. It's the only one that takes away all the fear and anxiety that I grew up with. I wouldn't say, 100%, because it's not 100%, but I get to live life. I get to walk around and be a human being like everyone else. So I'll talk a little bit. This is a men's meeting, so I was trying to think on the way over here, you know, what specifically to share around being a man in Overeaters Anonymous. You know, and I'll just talk a little bit about, I guess, my experience. Well, like I said, when I came here, I just wanted a solution. I was looking for long-term weight loss. I just wanted to kind of recapture the glory of old days, you know. I had spent, I'm also a exercise bulimic, and that's kind of how I try to manage my weight my whole life. So I just wanted to be there again, you know, to experience being, you know, thin again. I'd only been thin one time in my life, and that was, well, when I was younger, I wasn't really that heavy when I was really, really young. There was after second grade, I started getting chunky, getting husky. But before that, I wasn't. And at second grade, I don't know what happened. Some possible trauma. But I started compulsively overeating to deal with life. And then the second time was when I joined the Marine Corps, and you'll see pictures of me there. You know, and I mean, and they got me in shape, and I maintained it for a while, and that's all I wanted when I came in. So. Being a man in Overeaters Anonymous, you know, there were other men in the group, but yeah, I did notice that it was predominantly women. I did have to set some boundaries for myself to not sponsor or be sponsored by women initially. That's just a boundary for myself that I learned, thankfully, and I've maintained these 11 years now because it's not, you know, and I have a lot of female OA friends and I've had one or two relationships in OA, and I've helped people along and done a lot of outreach calls with women. It's just that boundary, that connection, because I know that you know with OA, you know, with my disease, I mean, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. So I just, you know, for me, it's food, money, and relationships. I know that I was aware enough to know that I act out in those three areas. And so I thought, you know, this is going to work. You know, OA was working for me, my first 12-step program. I thought, if this is going to work for me, I better, you know, let me protect it, you know. And I think that I didn't give it too much thought. That was the grace of God. And it's really helped me out all these years, especially now. By a miracle, I'm married now. I've been in a longstanding, you know, healthy, nurturing, equal, you know, relationship with my wife for I think going on 7 years now. We're married just over a year, and that wouldn't be possible without Overeaters Anonymous. Other than that, I think taking my head out of the program, taking my head out of recovery, or asking it to sit on the sidelines really helped me as well. It helped me in gaining willingness in this program because my head, I relied on it my whole life, and it's been my constant companion, but it also is a way for my disease. That's the strongest tool my disease has to self-sabotage me. Oh, you know, you can't eat this way your whole life. You're not going to be able to do it. Isn't it wrong to eat? When I used to eat the same thing every day for about two or three years, isn't it wrong? Aren't you not getting enough nutrition? You should try variety. You know, we weren't meant to, you know, all this stuff. But you know what? Or, this is a female. This is a woman's problem. What are you, some one of these guys with problems? And, you know, and shouldn't you figure it out? You know, I came from a place of self-sufficiency. You know, it was wrong to ask for help. You know, no one's going to help you out. You got to get up, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. You know, I didn't want to ask for help. I thought it was against the law. And I thought I didn't want it because if you gave me help, then I couldn't claim credit for whatever the accomplishment was. And I needed validation like nobody's business. So I don't want to take up too much time. I know we're sharing time here, but I will say that I came in here for the weight loss. I try to set that try to do contrary action against all those obsessive thoughts, and didn't pay attention to the fact that, you know, a lot of times I was the only guy in the room. And I think, you know, building a male a fellowship and friends, male friends, I think it's critically important in this program, and it's really saved my life. My sponsor, other fellow travelers in this program, a lot of good friends I met and maintained in this program, and it's really mean a lot to me. And I think that's the one thing I would say that has been critical to my recovery is, and you know, not just for connecting with other people, but just, hey, being able to call and being able to relate, right, on a male level. I think that's really important. And being able to build relationships with guys, you know, for me, it was always competition or fear or, you know, hey, I don't, you know, trust you, or really, you know, in my acting out, guys couldn't trust me either. You know, my friends couldn't trust me either, you know. So to come through for them, or to, you know, they couldn't trust me with their girlfriends. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, you know. And I've learned that I've been taught in this program, thankfully. And I'm just grateful to be here. It's good to see a lot of guys here in this program. And I'm going to keep coming back. I hope you do the same. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Tim, compulsive overeater. The only thing that I heard, I stopped listening after he's got seven more days than I do, and I'm like, shit. So but thank you very much. I really got a lot out of your share. I did forget my pictures, but I have one of them. You can just pass around the phone. I do want the phone back. My abstinence date is May the 5th, 2009, and as of this month, I've given away 99 pounds. I was never aware, as far as men's, you know, it didn't give us kind of any like talking points in this format. I was never aware it was any different. I was very comfortable around women and sharing my experience and the way I ate. It wasn't a thing for me. I do go to a breakfast where it was one thing coming back from relapse that my sponsor, he worked with one of his other sponsees after our Sunday morning meeting, and I just kind of tagged along, and now that breakfast has grown to anywhere from 15 guys on a light day to about 30 guys on Sunday morning after the meeting. To have that fellowship and to talk about and, you know, be able to talk about what it's like to be a guy who can't stop eating, you know, it's amazing how unaware I was of what kind of effect it had. And it was something that happened within the past, let's say, 6 months. The breakfast is really not good. it's just not. The breakfast, it's the food is not good. It's just the food is not, and it's $25. You would expect it to be good, and you know, my sponsor loves this, and it's cold. We sit outside. But it's the only place that we could talk openly have the freedom, you know. We don't have to accommodate anybody else. And so one of my sponsees asked him, he goes, why would I change my breakfast on a Sunday morning when I usually wouldn't eat this way? And he goes, and I was sitting right across from him, and because I stopped buying the breakfast because it was $25 and times are tight and all that stuff. And he goes, you know, he goes, only one reason. He goes, to keep this going. And I'm like, I thought about it, and I'm like, is it worth $25 to me? Is because I've banked my life on this. I've got a wife. I've got a kid. I've seen a man die from this disease because he had two respirators, and they couldn't keep up with the amount of weight that was on his lungs. I've banked my life on. Is $25 worth it? Is that fellowship that I get from the other men to be part of? Because like Domingo was talking about, I'm either 100% better than you or a piece of shit and below you. I could never be equal. And at that table, I'm just equal. I'm just another person that is just struggling to get through the. And some days it is a struggle, and most of the days it's not. But how do I get through the day without eating? How do I get, and it's those fellows, it's reaching out, and I'm going to get Domingo's phone number because it's like, you know, how do I reach out to guys and let them know what's going on? Because it's that incessant thinking that's, it's always walking me back to the first bite. And maybe women in this group don't understand the voice that comes at me, you know, like another man would. You know, we could talk about the disease and the wanting to eat and the phenomenon of craving, but that mental obsession and the way the disease approaches me today might approach me a little differently than say, a woman's voice might. And so to me, to be in the middle of that hurt, to get those phone calls, to give those phone calls and those texts that, hey, I want to change my snack. And it's the thinking that's the problem. It's the thinking that always walks me back to the first bite. And so I need to share. I must take an action. It can't be just thinking. I must take an action to thwart my disease thinking. And it's whether just letting somebody know. And is if I'm known in that group of guys, if I'm known in that group of OA, whether it's men or women, then I can one day at a time arrest that mental obsession. And that's really what I'm dealing with. After 10 years, the food is the food. And I love what you said about eating the same thing. I still eat the same salad. People are like amazed. I was working with the guys that I worked with at the very beginning of my abstinence. And they're like, you still eat that salad? I still bring my salad with me to work. I'm like, I still love it. And the blessing is I still love that salad. I still love that salad. And that's the blessing. It's not something that's like been imposed upon me. My sponsor was very clear at the beginning. You're not to eat food you do not like. We're not here to diet. We're not any lean cuisine or whatever it is. We're here to eat foods that you like and enjoy. We're just not going to eat the foods that you really like and you really enjoy. And so to me, the fellowship of men, I didn't realize how important it was. But when I'm in the jackpot, those are the guys that I turn to. When my best thinking starts to chip away at me. I'm not turning to women in this group. I'm turning to men who have the same, whose voice approaches them in the same way. So I want to make sure everybody else gets a chance to share. So that's all I got to say. Again, this topic is, the session is just men's. That's all it says is men's. When we're finished, we now open up for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the men's topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 8:55.
So I'm Brian, a compulsive eater, anorexic, bulimic, exercise addict. It's good to see you, Domingo. It's good to have been known you over this past year. And I'm really appreciative of service. I wanted to use the microphone because this is carrying the message to people who aren't able to be here. And I think it's very interesting that no one is choosing to use the microphone. And it's indicative of how much being a male and in OA, how much shame, how much societal pressure, and how much stuff I just can't talk about. And I talk about service because I was invited to participate in the OA Men's Service Team. It's an international committee that helps to develop and employ resources to help our OA men's members, the members of OAs who are male. It's a Google Doc. It's got contact information. It's got sponsorship. They do workshops. They have once-a-week phone meetings and things. And so I have business cards, but OAmen.org is fantastic. I guess I'm kind of lucky because I being in a meeting, I, quite frankly, if a woman is there, I'm not offended. So, but there are certain life histories and family of origin that deals with that. But the societal, like, that's just the societal pressure. Having to conform to a specific body type. It's interesting that the things that are stereotypical female also correlate with the male experience. And I appreciate previous chairs where they were talking about there's a lot to be learned in from the opposite sex in meetings. But I just wanted to share that resource is out there. And I'm Brian. I'm a compulsive reader.
Military, that's how he runs his family. It's very much like, I give the orders, follow him, and that's it. thank you. I'm Daryl, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Daryl.
And I think one of the reasons that I had real tough issues coming into OA was the fact that I grew up as a fat kid. And I had such terrible low self-esteem. Had to pretend to be a guy when I was in a men's world, but the business world, for example. But always felt like that no matter how successful I was, that somebody could always say, "Yeah, but you're fat," and that would just defeat me immediately. It would deflate me. There was no answer. And so this level of shame that I had when I came in, this is not a macho disease. You know, we don't throw people through barroom windows. We eat in closets. And behind closed doors. I was a sneak eater, and that was the way I grew up. I was blessed to go to the first men's retreat that Dave is passing out the flyers for 32 years ago. And I was scared to death here, because I was real comfortable in the women's meetings, you know, that I just became one of the ladies. And it was comfortable. I was like a pet guy, you know, and they were real nice to me and everything. And then I go down there, and here's 60 guys, and I was scared shitless. And I'm thinking, I don't belong here. And, you know, the first guy that got up and shared, he talked about how scared he was to be there. Second guy that got up and shared talked about it's like being in a card game, and this guy has aces and eights, and this guy has queens, and I look at my cards, and I've got elephants and giraffes. You know, and that was me, you know. And then they passed out the book, How to Be a Guy, and his pages were all blank. And that was me, you know. And so I really identified in that first retreat. And thank God that the retreat is still going on. I've been back a number of times, and I have to tell you that it's made my recovery would not be complete without the men's meetings that I go to every week, and the men's retreat, because I could have been a great recovering compulsive overeater in the ladies' meetings, but my recovery would not have been complete without the men's side. So this is the place I need to be. So thanks, guys, for being here.
What do we have? Four more.
Good morning. My name is Leon. I'm a breakable recover. I'm supposed to be here from Simpsonville, South Carolina.
You don't know what you need until you need it.
Man, this has been great. I felt very led to come to LA. I did come last year. I'm very early in my recovery, nearly 2 years now. I've been abstinent. And I came here last year, but I was in a totally different mindset, just getting settled down from not eating and trying to adjust to my feelings. And I'm very grateful for the women in OA, the women that started this. And I've always been the only male in my meetings. And I kind of felt like you felt very comfortable around women. Was not afraid of the men at all. I was really looking for some companionship. And I came to this meeting last year. We had a men's meeting, and I don't think I picked up anything. You know, not what I picked up today. Because I mean, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a leader in my work. I'm a leader in my religion. And there's so many things that I deal with. And this year, this second year of abstinence and trying.
I didn't realize this is what I needed. I mean, I needed to hear from other men, and I just, you know, we had these men's groups that I'm hearing about, but three of us just said, hey, man, we need to start talking to each other. You know, my sponsor, he's single, you know, he's in his 60s, and he lives alone. And he'll tell me, you know, I can't help you. Which one of you said it, but yes, the disease does, I mean, it speaks to me as a man. It does speak different. Some of these women cannot understand what I'm going through. Very grateful for them because they help me get in touch with my sensitive side, but there's a manly part of me that needs to hear from another man to tell me how they were able to navigate interacting with their wife and navigating getting down with rage and the anger, you know, and I'm doing a lot of step work around I didn't even know I had this much rage because I was healed. And I didn't know it, but now I'm starting to understand it. So this program is awesome. I'm very thankful for all of you being here. And I will come to that convention.
I'm sorry, I misread the thing. We were supposed to stop about 5 minutes ago. So we're going to do, what do you say, third set prayer? And then we should exit quickly so that the next special meeting can come in. So let's finish up with the third set prayer.